We took turns going into the men's and women's toilet chambers to change. The shoes immediately drove me crazy. I kicked them off and parked them under a bench, then found a clear place on the narthex floor where I could spread out my bolt and fold it up. That involved stooping and squatting, tricky in dungarees. I couldn't believe people wore this stuff their whole lives. Once I had my bolt reduced to a book-sized package, I wrapped my cord around it, put them into the department store bag along with my balled-up sphere, and stuffed that into the bottom of the knapsack. Across the narthex, Leo was trying to perform some of his Valor moves in his new clothes. He moved as if he had just come down with a neurological disorder. Tullia's clothes didn't fit at all, and she was negotiating a swap with one of the centenarian sewers. Is this a convox? It is now. There had only been 8 convoxes. The first had coincided with the reconstitution. After that, one had been held at each millennium to compile the edition of the dictionary that would be used for the next 1,000 years and to take care of other business of concern to the thousanders. There had been one for the big nugget and one at the end of each sack. Barb became jumpy, then unruly, and then wild. None of the hierarchs knew what to make of him. He doesn't like change, Tullia reminded me. The unspoken message, he's your friend, he's your problem. Barb didn't like being crowded either, so Leo and I crowded him. We crowded him into a corner where Archibald was encamped with his stack of books.
Voco breaks the discipline because the one evoked goes forth alone and from that point onwards is immersed in the secular world, Archibald intoned. That's why they can't return. Convox is different. So many of us are taken at once that we can travel together and preserve the discipline within our Peregrine group.
Peregrine begins and ends at a math, Barb said, suddenly calm.
Yes, Frau Taverner.
When we get to St. Tredegar's,
we'll celebrate the Odd of Inbrace, Archibald prompted him. And?
And then we'll be together with other Avout in the Convox, Barb guessed.
And then?
And then when we're done doing whatever it is they want us to do, we make Peregrine back to St. Edhar, Barb went on.
Yes, Frau Taverner, said Archibald.
I could sense him fending off the temptation to add, if we haven't been incinerated by an alien death ray or gassed by the Warden of Heaven. Barb calmed down. It wouldn't last. Once we left the day gate, we'd be contending with minor violations of the discipline all the time. Barb would be certain to notice these and point them out.
Why, oh, why had he been evoked? He was just a brand new Fid. I was going to be babysitting him through the entire convox.
As the small hours of the morning passed, though, and the lapis sphere that represented Arb and the orrery ticked slowly around, I settled down a little bit and remembered that half of what I now knew about Theorix was thanks to Barb. What would it say about me if I ditched him? It was getting light outside. Half of the evoked had already departed. The hierarchs were pairing tenors with hundreders because many of the latter would need help from the former in speaking fluckish and coping with the seculum in general. Leo was summoned and went out with a couple of hundreders. Archibald and Tullia were told to get ready. I couldn't go out barefoot. My shoes were under a bench by the orrery. Fra Jad had parked himself on that bench, right above my shoes. His head was bent. His hands were folded in his lap. He must be doing some kind of profound thousander meditation. If I disturbed him just so that I could fetch my shoes, he would turn me into a newt or something. No one else wanted to disturb him either. Tullia, then Archibald, left with hundreders in tow. There were only 3 evoked left, Barb, Jad, and I. Jad was still in his bolt and cord. Barb headed for Fra Jad. I broke into a sprint and caught up with him just as he arrived.
Fra Jad must change clothes, Barb announced,
stretching his first year orth until it cracked. Fra Jad looked up. Until now, I had thought that his hands were folded together in his lap. Now I saw that he was holding a disposable razor still encased in its colorful package. I had one just like it in my bag. It was a common brand. Fra Jad was reading the label. The big characters were kinograms, which he would never have seen before, but the fine print was in the same alphabet that we used.
"What principle explains the powers imputed by this document to the Dynaglide Lubristrip?" he asked. "Is it permanent or ablative?"
"Ablative," I said. "It is a violation of the discipline for you to be reading that," Barb complained.
"Shut up," Fra Jad said.
"I don't mean in any way to be disrespectful," I tried, after a somewhat awkward and lengthy pause. "But
is it time to leave?"
Fra Jad asked, and checked the orrery as if it were a wristwatch.
"Yes."
Fra Jad stood up, and in the same motion stripped his bolt off over his head. Some of the hierarchs gasped and turned their backs. Nothing happened for a little while. I rummaged in his shopping bag and found a pair of drawers, which I handed to him.
"Do I need to explain this?"
I asked, pointing out the fly. Fra Jad took the garment from me and discovered how the fly worked.
"Topology is destiny,"
he said, and put the drawers on, one leg at a time. It was hard to estimate his age. His skin was loose and mottled, but he balanced perfectly on one leg, then the other, as he put on the drawers. The rest of getting Fra Jad decent went by without notable incidents. I retrieved my shoes and tried once more to remember how to tie them. Barb seemed amazingly content to follow the command to shut up. I wondered why I had never tried this simple tactic with him before.